huh? The Lord appears, huh? To mainly to bless us, to bless the conditioned souls, and enjoy His pastimes, bring His pastimes here, show His manifest His pastimes, so that the conditioned souls may benefit by hearing about them, because that is the actual panacea for material disease, is to remember the Lord's pastimes and His name and form and qualities, etc. Because after all, in the reality, that's all there is. It's all that goes on in the spiritual world. But in the material world, we've forgotten that. We've turned away. We've turned our face away from the Lord. Or rather, He's taken that remembrance of Him away from us. Huh? It's avidya shakti. He covers us as soon as we choose to by our own independence choose to do something which is not in line with His desire in the spiritual world, what we call rasabhas. So then that consciousness cannot belong in that all pure place, the spiritual world. But because we want to, we have this another idea, it's called misuse of independence. So the Lord facilitates. You want? Okay. Anything you want, He'll give. The place, spiritual world, is Chintamani, right? Anything you desire can happen. So you want another program, but it can't go on here. This program's already is going on exactly how I and my devotees would like it to go on. So then, but if you want something different, okay, here it is. The glance. Lakshmi, Shiva, Durga, material world. And then when we enter into the material world, then He covers us with this avidya. From me come remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness, intelligence, right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so it's coming from Him. So now we've forgotten the Lord, then what else is there? This material energy. So it is an unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in. But we want to carry on as normal, like in the spiritual world, to do whatever we like, to please the Lord. But now, and you can do anything you like. In the spiritual world, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, be whatever you want, as long as it doesn't interfere with the program of the Lord. Unlimited desires. Unlimited freedom, the Vaikuntha. There's no restriction. Same quality as the Lord. So here, but here, we still have the same desire, but Krishna's removed Himself from our vision due to our mentality. So if He's not there, then we'll put ourselves in His position, and we'll try to act in that situation. It's called Maya, illusion. And so we become just more entangled into trying to fulfill our desires. Because as soon as you desire something here, in the spiritual world, immediately it can happen. But here there's some distance, there's some time and energy and effort to achieve something, and then it's not guaranteed. So it's hard work. It's always hard work in the material world. It's not like, you know. But we don't like the struggle, because it's unnatural, because normally we can achieve whatever we want in the spiritual world. So here it's very, very difficult. Kunta. Not Vaikunta, it's Kunta. Difficulties, obstructions, pressure. Plus, over and above that, you have these three kleshas: old age, disease, death, the three modes of nature, lamentation, thirst, illusion, anger, all these things are there as well. So We're trying to adjust the situation here to be comfortable. First of all, to be comfortable, because it's an uncomfortable situation. The material Durga puts you in an uncomfortable situation. That's her business, right? Huh? She has this trisol. Adiyatna kari devi kari voltik. As he's given you a jab. Go back, go back, go back. Don't stay here, don't stay here. Go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna. And the more you resist, what happens? The more painful, right? The more you try to resist, then the more it hurts. And if you're thinking of enjoying Durga, the more you try to give her a hug, then the more it hurts, the more it sticks in. So both ways, we're actually suffering. We're trying to enjoy Durga, and we're getting more pricks. The more we try to enjoy it, the more, and the more we try to fight it, also the same thing. So there's, but we don't give up that endeavor. And this is very fortunate, like all of us, all of you. You meet the sadhu, and we wake up, hey, you know what's going on here? Haribol, it's not where you belong. Krishna's, you've forgotten Krishna. Now you just turn away from Maya and Krishna. That's it. That's the bhakta's program. The religionists, they will confront Maya. The karmis and the gyanis and the yogis. The karmis want to follow, be religious. They're religious fellows. They want to enjoy the situation. They want to actually enjoy the situation. Control the city so they can be happy here. Because then we haven't actually understood your actual position as the eternal servants of the Lord. And we should be acting for His pleasure. That's Sanatana Dharma. That's natural life. So we're using a religious process so that we can enjoy in this world and the next. We can be happy in this world and the next. And the Gyanis and Yogis, they're trying to become free from Maya. But they're both confronting Maya, you see. The subject matter is Maya. For the karmis and the gyanis. Some are trying to enjoy, some are trying to control. Both illusion. We cannot control Maya. We cannot enjoy Maya. Maya is prakriti, we're also prakriti. From Krishna's point of view, we're Krishna's energy. Marginal energy and the material energy is the external energy is also Krishna's energy. So prakriti can't enjoy prakriti. Purusha can't enjoy prakriti. But we think we're taking the position of the Purusha. We're taking the position of Krishna, of the controller and the Purusha. So that is illusion. Head in Maya. Because you're not. We're not the controllers. We're not the enjoyers. That's Krishna's position. And as long as we're determined to do it, then we'll get another chance. A big variety of avenues to explore. 8,400,000 species. And ways to try, and 14 planetary systems to do it in. Plenty of opportunity. There's no dearth of opportunities to express our desire to do that. But you're still in the Brahmanda. You're still subject to time. And nobody is successful in the material world. Nobody is. Hiranyakashipu was successful. He was the best materialist. He was actually successful. For a little while. But no one can... You can't know. Prabhupada said there'll never be another demon like him, Hiranyakashipu, again. He was actually, for all intents and purposes, at least he was controlling everyone else. He was actually in control, except for Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and of course Lord Vishnu. He was a material success story, the best. But what happened? One moment, finished. Then what? So the actual pastime of Lord Nrisingadev, he appears here to attract our minds to him. He performs his extraordinary pastimes, and we think, hey, that's fantastic. Everyone is attracted to him. Everyone. Prabhupada said, everyone is attracted to Krishna. Because he's the best. He does everything the best. Right? Says, even the thieves are attracted to Krishna because he's the best thief. Even the debauchees are attracted to Krishna because he's the biggest debauchee. So whatever is going, he's the best. So everyone has to admire Krishna. Krishna, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Then the Lord appears in many extraordinary ways and performs extraordinary pastimes to attract us. And he appears in many different forms because there's many different, we have many different mentalities. And so he appears in a variety of forms. There's hundreds of millions, actually. How was it? Avatars are coming like the waves of the ocean. So something for everyone. However you want to worship the Lord, he'll reciprocate. He'll reciprocate like that. And but his enjoyment is unhindered. He's always enjoying. Whatever he does, even he comes to the material world, he's enjoying. Because he's nothing to do with the material world. He carries on as normal. He comes in the material world, but he's not part of this material world. He's not affected by the three modes of nature, rather they're under his jurisdiction. So he does whatever he wants. His life goes on as normal. And here he can perform some more pastimes that he doesn't perform in the spiritual world. So a little more variety for him to enjoy. He can attract the conditioned souls and we can be delivered simply by remembering him. Janma karma, chame divyam. One who understands this transcendental nature of my appearance, activities and disappearance, they're not born again. It's not a difficult thing. You know how Krishna appeared? He's self-manifest from the womb Devaki or Nandarani. He performed those wonderful pastimes and then he left. Mostly he went back with when he finished his pastime and left a material form for the atheists and non-believers. And simply accepting that, you can go back to Godhead. As Krishna's saying, one who understands the nature that he's not like us. He's not born. He's not forced to take birth. And you see, he doesn't grow old either. That's one proof. So if he doesn't grow old, why should he die? So that's his wonderful past, simply to attract us. So, of course, this incarnation, Lord Nrsingadev, he didn't stay around very long. Probably only 1 or 2 days. It seems like that. Because he appeared, then he killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening time. Then he told Prahlad to perform the Shraddha ceremony for his fathers. So that would have probably been that they would have probably done that the next day. When someone dies, you should burn them before the sun sets, but if it's later, then you do it the next day. If it's already sunset, you do it the next day. And all the other rituals, so it's probably, he wasn't here very long. A matter of hours, actually. Of course, he may have gone to Nrsingapalli and lived there for some time in Navadvip and had some secret meat pastimes there. But it was a very short, brief, a brief appearance. But, it's made a big impact. He's very popular in the world today. Here from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where these pastimes are narrated, most of the pastimes, there's 10 chapters, 9 chapters, I think, on this, Five of them are concerning Prahlad. One is concerning Nrsingadev, one and, well, more or less two, and then about three for Hiranyakashipu. So mostly it's about the Prahlad Maharaj, this whole section. Because he's given some very important instructions. And Lord Chaitanya had this Prahlad's teachings read to him over and over again, as well as the pastimes of Dhruva, who both happened to be 5-year-old boys. I don't know if there's any connection with that, but I guess no one can be envious of a young boy. That's one thing. Or jealous of a young boy. But anyway, the pastimes his teachings are very valuable for us. So therefore, they're the greatest portion of the whole episode. So we could go to some of the wonderful teachings, etc. here. At the last, Lord Nrsingadev, he's telling Prahlad, he's glorifying Prahlad. Lord Nrsingadev doesn't speak very much, not so much. He has one chapter, little something. But he's glorifying Prahlad Maharaj that I'm giving him instruction. He's saying here, from the tenth chapter, my dear child, your father has already been purified just by the touch of my body at the time of his death. Nonetheless, the duty of a son is to perform the Shraddha ritualistic ceremonies after his father's death, so the father may be promoted to a planetary system where he may become a good citizen and devotee. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Hiranyakashipu didn't first, of course, he had to take three births. Jayavijaya had to take three births. But following the storyline, although he was purified, he wasn't a devotee. He still had to develop the devotional sentiment. So then he went to a higher planetary system where he would develop these good devotional qualities. Then he instructs Prahlad, after performing these ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom, sit upon the throne, and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed on me. Without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas, as a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Nishkam karma. You practice this. Just do your duties and don't be too concerned with the whole material show. You do your duties but remember me within that. In other words, you form your activities without attachment and do it as an offering to me, ultimately. And then he was enthroned enthroned by Lord Brahma. Here then Narada Muni, he was beginning the narration of this story, he was talking to Yudhisthira. He was talking about Shishupal and others. Then now he related the whole story of Jayavijaya. And he's related in this narration about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His various expansions, incarnations have been described, and the killing of the two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, has been described. this Hiranyakashipu, he could have been really, he could have been, if he wasn't a demon, because he got so much potency by performing these very severe austerities. Lord Brahma was surprised. No one can do this. No one can do this. Let your body be eaten away. Eh? It would all be fearful for our lives, right? And that he was, his actual, all the flesh was eaten away. He was remaining alive. This is in Satyayuga. You could live if you had marrow in your body. So he was so determined that he didn't, he was so determined because he knew there were some very powerful rishis like Bhrigu, etc., who could count. So he wanted to be more powerful than these great rishis even. And he did. He became like that. Had everyone under his subjugation. And Lord, he was disturbing the universal affairs by his penances. So we knew it's impossible to do such a thing. Only a special. So the Bhagavad Gita is full of extraordinary narrations, not ordinary. So then Lord Brahma benedicted him. So then he had all the, he had this full power, beautiful body, golden body. And but his only problem was he wasn't, he was envious of Krishna, envious of Vishnu because he killed his brother. So that was his illusion, that Krishna is your, is everyone's best friend. He's a well-wisher of everyone, but he thought he's my enemy. He killed my brother. So he's my enemy. So that was his mistake, that he was envious of Vishnu and Vishnu's supporters. So therefore he made it such that those people that perform Vedic ritualistic activities, pious activities, they will get a bad result. He was so powerful, he had the devas under his control. So that whatever he wanted to the law, how the laws of the universe to change, they had to do it. Or otherwise he was even more powerful than them. He didn't even need them to do it. He could do it himself. He was so powerful. So that was one of his ideas. If you perform these Vedic rituals, you'll get a bad result. So naturally you're not going to do it. So he wanted to stop. He wanted to show that, you know, I don't need God. I don't need this. You know, I am the greatest. And he was actually living like that. But if he hadn't been inimical towards the Lord and the Brahmanas, then he could have been, you know, enjoyed such a wonderful life. He'd have been next to Lord Brahma practically. Brahma wouldn't interfere. He could do it. You know, he would have been recognized, worshipped, and as the emperor of the whole universe. But anyway, that was his problem. He thought Vishnu was an enemy. So the benedictions here, Narada is saying that this narration describes the characteristics of the great and exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj. His staunch devotional service, his perfect knowledge, and his perfect detachment from material contamination. It also describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers has described the transcendental qualities of the Lord and has also described how the various abodes of the demigods and demons, regardless of how materially opulent, are destroyed by the mere direction of the Lord. So he says, and one who hears and chants this narration about the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is certainly liberated from material bondage without fail. So this is the result of hearing about these pastimes of the Lord. And Prahlad has described these pastimes, and so Lord Chaitanya was relishing these pastimes. Of course, Prahlad is considered the best devotee of the. He's one of the Mahajans. We follow in his parampara. He's one of the nine Mahajans, and he's considered the greatest devotee amongst all of those. In Dasaras, So this whole thing is in Dasya Ras. So in the prayers that Prahlad is worshipping the Lord, he's talking about, you know, for our instruction, everything, how the material world is working, how the Lord's energy is working, how the Lord enters into it, how he expands and different incarnations. So much vast knowledge he is giving about the whole material and cosmic manifestation, how it works, how the living entities are entrapped, how the Lord is aloof, how he expands and does all these things in different incarnations. And it explains his pure devotion to the Lord. Therefore Lord Chaitanya enjoyed hearing this again and again. From Gadadhar, Pandit used to read narrations to the Lord Chaitanya. Prahlad's instructing his school friends, he's giving them valuable knowledge. We know the story, his teachers were very disturbed because Prahlad wasn't interested in learning diplomacy or politics or even religious principles, dharma, artha, karma, moksha. He wasn't really interested because he was already situated above that. By dint of his hearing from Narada Muni while he was in the womb of his mother. As you know, when Hiranyakashipu left to perform these great austerities and penances, then the Devitas took this opportunity to wipe out the demons. So they made a big attack on all of the demons, and they captured his wife, Hiranyakashipu's wife, who was pregnant at that time. And so they were taken away. As soon as this child is born, Hiranyakashipu, whose son is born, will kill him. But then Narada Muni, all-knowing, intercepted and said, no, he's actually, although he's a son of Hiranyakashipu, he's actually a great devotee. I will take care of his wife. So then he took her to his ashram and he began to narrate the pastimes, etc., and the glories of the Lord. And Prahlad heard within the womb all this. So he was a pure devotee from birth by Narada Muni's grace, mercy. So naturally he was already detached as soon as he was born. And so he wasn't interested in religion and economic development or sense gratification or even liberation, that kind of liberation. So this is where he would be teaching his friends the very esoteric teachings. We read some of them, some of his teachings. This is from the 9th chapter. A living entity desires comfort for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually the body is a property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces a living entity and then leaves him aside. Since the body itself is ultimately meant to become stool or earth, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body, such as wives, residences, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals, and ministers? They are also temporary. What more can be said about this? Prahlad was speaking a lot about the impermanence or the futility of material existence. Because ultimately, it has no real meaning. All our activities and endeavors in this world simply result in another body and another chance to fulfill our desires. Of course, there's no material satisfaction. There's no material solution to material problems. As Prabhupada Maharaj says, generally the cause, the cure that you take, the remedy that you take, is worse than the problem, ends up worse than the problem. That's how material Maya works. You make an endeavor to solve a problem, and you end up, and that endeavor is actually worse, it ends up worse than the actual first instance. Prabhupada often gives that example of the motor car. He says, you make a motor car to get from A to B quickly. He says, and it does. It gets you from A to B quickly. But look what the price you pay for it. So many hellish steel factories and rubber factories, and you're drilling the oil, sucking the oil from the earth. You're polluting the atmosphere. You're putting asphalt over the ground, making these roads. There's so much polluting the earth with the fumes, and so many people die in road accidents, but you get from A to B quicker. But look what it involves. Look at the infrastructure it involves. Now the real problem, the real thing would be to ask why you want to get to B quicker. Why can't you be satisfied in A? If you're satisfied in A, then you wouldn't need to get to B quicker. So the mode of passion is like that, you see? You think, if I do this, then I'll be... It means we're trying to control our environment, trying to make life more convenient. But actually, it doesn't actually work. Not for long. And along with that, just like, because life becomes more artificial, as we see nowadays, further away from the natural living, becomes more artificial, and also it affects your consciousness. Then the consciousness becomes very, very degraded. Over the years and the generations and the yugas, becomes very, very, very down, like this. The environment affects us, you see, and our desires. And like now we're one-fourth of the intelligence that we had in Satyayuga. Only one-fourth. And the bodily stature reduces, and the longevity of life reduces so much. So these are all mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We shouldn't think it's imagination that the people could live for 100,000 years in Satyayuga. It may be unbelievable now, because we're so conditioned. Our history only goes back a few hundred years or a few thousand years at the best. But millions of years ago, it is. Like in the future, we cannot believe that if you live to 21 years old, you'll be a ripe old man. And you'll be this tall, one hand tall, at the end of Kali Yuga. One hand tall, 18 inches. And nothing to eat. Oh, thank you. Thanks. I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. No class. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It's very cool. Thank you. That'll last me for till the electric comes out. Hello. I'm on low key behavior. So if one is satisfied, the mode of goodness means satisfaction. Then you won't have to endeavor so much for all these things. So that's the secret of peaceful living. One should be satisfied. But one has to develop the mode of goodness to be satisfied. Prahlad's also explained about the different qualities of a devotee, ecstatic features of a devotee. So he's covering a whole range of different topics course, the Prabhupada was exhibiting those symptoms himself, like shaking, tears, and hair standing on end. He talks a lot about this family, material attachment, that one who is attached really cannot understand, is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by his mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from the threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of the government and by the laws of Yamaraja after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. So that is a mode of goodness, a mode of passion. Mode of passion, then they become more short-sighted. This three gunas are considered three ropes. Or three chains, iron, gold, and silver. the mode of goodness is like a long rope. When you tie the cow, if you have a long rope, it's nice, because you have more area. And the mode of passion is a shorter rope, and the mode of ignorance is a much shorter rope. In other words, in the mode of goodness, you can go to the higher planets. You know that. In the mode of passion, you're in the middle, and the mode of ignorance, you're very, very... Freedom is very, very restricted. It says something very... And he talks about the human form of life. Every human has a maximum duration of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of these years is completely lost because he sleeps at night 12 hours. Twice as much as the Brahmacharis. Being covered by ignorance, therefore, a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, he passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, he engages in sporting and playing, is another 10 years. In this way, 20 years is wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. So, you don't have much left in your life. In the middle portion, when you're young, strong, and kind of healthy, you can do so, you can think about enjoying, but it's not very much. And then it goes on to say other ways that we actually waste our life. There's so many pertinent instructions that Sri Prahlad is giving for us here. He also says, in this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his condition of distress begins. Yeah? It's very surprising, yeah? It doesn't seem like logic. But the idea is, you're not endeavoring for happiness, in other words, if you want some happiness, so what do? Is thinking, feeling, and willing. You want happiness because you're not satisfied. So then you're thinking about, how can I get some happiness? Thinking, feeling, you make a good plan. This will bring me happiness. And then you're willing, endeavor. Now that's work. Right? It's work. You have to do something to achieve that happiness. You have to go somewhere or get something to achieve that happiness. And that's work. So immediately you start after happiness, and then it's troublesome. The idea is happiness. But immediately you start for that happiness, then your trouble begins. Right? That makes sense. If you were satisfied in the first place, then you wouldn't have to make all these endeavors. So that's when your problem begins. As soon as you want, you're looking for happiness. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition, but actually from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. On the contrary, as soon as one begins acting according to his plan, his life of distress immediately begins. Therefore, one should not be ambitious to dissipate the unhappy conditions of life, for one cannot do anything about them. Although one is acting according to false ambitions, he thinks he can improve his material condition by his activities. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress, for this is futile. One should work for self-realization, not for economic development, which is impossible to improve. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined, and one cannot change this. Therefore, it is better to use one's time for advancement in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. One should not waste his valuable life as a human being. It is better to utilize this life for developing Krishna consciousness without ambitions for so-called happiness. Without any endeavor, you can get the happiness and distress which is due without endeavoring. In other words, material world means karma. There's nothing else. There's no chance or luck in the material world. Everything is karma. So according to your karma, then you'll have so much happiness and so much distress according to our pious and impious activities. So how can you change that? How can you change that? So you don't have to endeavor. That will come, as Prahlad Maharaj says, that nobody is endeavoring for problems. But they come anyway. The problems are always coming. Eh? You have to open windows, it gets too hot. To bring a fan. There's always problems coming. If we didn't have a building with AC, then you wouldn't have to close all the windows. If it was under a tree, this wouldn't happen, you see. It'd be hot. It would still be hot, but you try to improve, and then you have to endeavor again to. So that's going to come, your happiness and distress is going to come automatically. You can't change it. It's like you don't want the problems, they come. You don't look for the problems. So why we should go and look for happiness? Why won't they come automatically? If the distress comes automatically, why won't the happiness come automatically? Which it does. It's just karma. That is Maya. That is how Maya works. Because we think we're the controllers, then we think, oh, I don't like this, and then I should offset it. I like this, I should make an endeavor to achieve it. It's the same thing. I like this, I don't like that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the distance between us and Krishna is my likes and my dislikes. Happiness. Is it? Isn't it happiness? Is it happiness or relief? Sorry? Repeat the statement. What was it? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statement. He said your relationship, there's one thing. He said the distance between you and your relation and Krishna, the distance between you and Krishna is your likes and your dislikes. Once they're gone, he said, then what else is it? So that's Maya, you see. It's only Maya between you and Krishna. If there was no Maya, then Krishna would be there. So that Maya is, I like this, I don't like that. In other words, I'm this body, I'm the enjoyer of this body. Some things I like, some things I don't like. So this is the illusion, you see. And if you're the body, then you're the controller, you're the doer. So then if you're doing something to avoid distress or doing something to achieve happiness, then what? There'll be a result. You made that endeavor, there's going to be some result. Then you have to come back to accept that result. It's only karma. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, no punya, no pap, only Radha Krishna. Don't perform any pious activities, only Radha. Because they're both bringing you back, you see. You come, pious activities, you get a better birth. Impious activities, you get it worse, but you the same problem. So as soon as you're back here, it's a problem. Old age, disease, death. So this is the only remedy. Prahlad is pointing this out very graphically. You don't endeavor for problems, they come. Why won't your happiness come? Automatically. Whatever you do, you can't get any more than what you do. You can work like an donkey and get so many things, so much stuff, but it doesn't guarantee that your life will be happier, your existence will be better. as soon as you got things, then you have to protect them, you have to maintain them. It's work. So therefore, it's endowed that one should live simply. Simply. We know what simple living means? What? Under the tree with a cow, yeah? No, simple living means you don't work hard to exist. Because if you got good karma, you may have many palaces. So you can have 6 cars. And so many apartments with swimming pools and air conditioners, and you can have. But if you think, no, I should have this. They've got that. I should live like that also. And then you're working like an ass to achieve it, working hard to achieve it. That's Maya. If it's your karma, if it comes without hard work, then what's the problem? You can enjoy it. You're not working hard. You're not working for it. It's coming. It's your karma, is your due that? Facility is coming. It's your birthright. But if you think, no, I should have like him, or I should have like that, then you work for that. No. That's envious. You should be satisfied in any situation that you're in. That's simple life. Simple life. So you may be living in a palace, or you may be living in a kacha house. But you're simple life. That means not endeavoring too hard to exist. That's simple life. So everything, Prahlad's Maharaj covers everything in his instructions. So Lord Chaitanya was liked, and he liked to read it. He liked to hear these again and again and again. Of course, Prahlad is in Dasyaras. He's worshipping the Sringadeva as Supreme Narayan, Lord, in awe and reverence. But still, Lord Chaitanya, he's a perfect devotee, perfect pure devotee. In his particular rasa, with Krishna, and his example, completely dependent on Krishna. He always, completely dependent on the Lord for his protection. Fearless. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, how does it feel to be Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada said, I have no fear. Dependent on Krishna, then why should he have any fear? So although the story is the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev, he actually takes up a very small portion. The most of it is preparation. The demon, Hiranyakashipu, because everyone wants to be Hiranyakashipu. Everyone wants to be on top, materially. So he gets a few three chapters. But then Prahlad gets 5 chapters because he's the actual star. He's the actual success. Hiranyakashipu's success was very short lived. Materially, so materially there's no satisfaction. Material world means problem. You can't adjust materially the problems of life. You act piously. You want to solve the problems of life, become religious. It's the best you can do. Otherwise the problems go on. And everyone, all these good people are running around trying to resolve problems, right? Trying to help people, and the whole place is chaos. It actually gets worse. Although there's a lot of good intentions, there's a lot of good organizations, and so if you actually want to resolve the problem, what is the best thing to do? Take yourself out. There are billions and millions of living entities moving around in this Brahmanda, trying to resolve problems, trying to make a nice situation. Take one out, your problem is solved. Your problem is solved. You just go, leave it alone. The problem remains. The problem's eternal, practically. Every breath of Vishnu is there. It's a problem. It's created like that. Abrahma, from top to bottom, it's a place of suffering. So no matter how much materially you try to adjust to make it a nice place, it's not going to work. It's not meant to be. This is God's program. It's not our program. He says it's a place of Dukkalaya. Matyaloka. That's his. He's made it. It's his creation, you see. This is what it is. So he's telling us what it is. And he's telling us that you can't resolve these problems. How can we control Durga Devi? She's controlling us. So don't in Maya to try. But even we forget that when we try to take his position, no, I can do it. Somehow or other, I can do it. That is Maya. So Prahlad is pointing out these things very graphically. Very graphically. And straight to his face, he calls his father, my dear demoniac father. You know, he says, you're in complete illusion, you're in complete Maya. This is the reality. And my father became very angry. What did you learn at school today? What's the best thing you've learned? Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam. You're an enemy, you're a friend of, a devotee of our, sworn enemy of our family. Kill you, rascal. Prahlad wasn't fazed at all, under any condition. So he's a perfect example. Who could do such a thing? Who could tolerate so much as Prahlad? Not me. He had no fear. completely dependent on the protection and mercy of Krishna. And giving all good philosophical reasons why. He had complete faith, but he also had a lot of wisdom there. Now, how can you protect yourself in this world? So tomorrow we can remember more Lord Nrsimhadev more intently and his wonderful devotees. Of course, remember him by his devotees are the saving grace. Because remember, it was Narada Muni that actually enlightened Prahlad. Even though he's born in a demoniac family. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in that section that so Krishna consciousness doesn't depend on any material situation. You can be Krishna conscious at any time. There's no material impediment to becoming Krishna conscious. And this is a this is a consideration, especially for devotees, I found, that we always, many devotees, probably most of us, we have this maya, that, look, I have this problem, just let me overcome this problem, then I'll be peaceful to serve Krishna. Now this is a distraction to my devotional service, is this distraction, whether it's this person or this ashram or this facility or this place or this climate, there's some distraction there. Right? We've all got one, otherwise we'd be pure unalloyed devotees. But we've all got, just let me get that out of the way, then I can serve Krishna peacefully and happily. This is my Prabhupada said that will never happen. It will never happen. You'll get rid of that, something else will come. That's only prominent now. If that wasn't there, you'll get something else would come. More subtle. More subtle. But we don't see. We only see the... It's like if you're going a distance. If you're going somewhere, there's a big wall in front of you. Just let me get over that wall and I'll be free. You don't know, you climb on top of a wall, you see another wall. Oh, let me get over that. But you don't know how, you can never know how many walls there are. So Maya's like that. She says, you know, just get the problem out of the way. Use your intelligence, use your ability, and then everything will be nice. But that will never happen. In other words, you've got to control all your senses, practically speaking. Something will always be there. Something will always be there, so as much as possible we should tolerate. That's what it depends. You're just on your tolerance level. There's always something. You're sitting here and the flies are buzzing around and so annoying, right? And keep going, the flies like that. Ah, and you get so angry sometimes. Go away, won't go away. It keeps landing on your face and in your eyes and you're getting angry. And you can't read your book, you can't tend to, you can't do what you're doing, right? It's really disturbing. Then suddenly a dacoit comes in with his knife to come to rob you. That fly is not important anymore. It's nothing. then there's everything is on there, that everything is on this. Then suddenly, not a single day, a tiger walks in, a lion walks in the room, then you and the dacoit, like that. So then the dacoit's not important anymore. The lion's important. Then the lion's looking at you, licking his lips. And then, what else? Then suddenly, the ground starts to shake and the light starts, there's an earthquake. Then the lion's not important anymore, the lion's also scared. So then the lion runs out, the dacoit runs out, and the earthquake stops, and wow, what a relief. Then the fly comes back, and so there'll always be something. But it's only as important you make it. So it gets your desires are more and more subtle, you see. So we don't even know what our, something's bothering us now. We think if I get over this, everything will be. But it may not be like that. Maybe the more desires, subtle desires, more and more subtle. So one should become peaceful and accept. As Pallada is saying, just accept. You're not going to change it. Don't endeavor, make this endeavor to for happiness and endeavor to, as far as possible. As far as possible, you should tolerate. As far you can't, you can't tolerate everything, obviously. But as far as possible. Then with the extra time you save from trying to pursue these things, you can serve Krishna with that time. And that's the whole purpose. Instead of defacing, dealing with Maya, you just turn away from Maya and serve Krishna. And just only attend to Maya as much as you have to. Your eating, sleeping, mating, defending, as much as reduce that as much as possible. Then the rest of the time you have for Krishna. That's the whole program. But most people are more interested in adjusting Maya. When it's adjusted, then I can serve Krishna peacefully. This is Maya, you see? What's stopping you from serving Krishna now? You get your guests come to Vrindavan, oh, it's so nice in this temple, I don't want to go back home. I have so many problems with the family, this and that. Okay, stay here. Well, no, I got so many problems and so many debts, I have to, let me get rid. I said, what are you talking about? You're saying your house is full of problems. Here is no problems. Why are you going back to your house with problems? Why don't you stay here? It's an opportunity. Come and live with us. No, no, I have to tie everything up. See? You don't have to. They think they have to because they think I am the controller. All these people are dependent on me. I'm like this. But at the end of the day, then it's all gone. It's all gone. At the end of the day, when you're leaving your body and you look, what was it all about? You know, all that endeavor, all that fuss for what? What did I do in this life? What good did I do for this world? And materially speaking, you know? How did I protect anyone? What can I do now? as far as possible, reduce your material activities so you have more time for remembering Krishna. So therefore, like tomorrow's a fast day. So you can reduce eating. Reduce eating, sleeping, mating and defending tomorrow. Festival day, you can have a day off your work so you won't have to defend. So you can reduce all those things to stop them for a good period of time. But the idea is not just to stop them, but one day, now you can do something directly positive, you know, essential, like hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. So that's the purpose. So therefore we have this Adivas to get us in the mood of remembering the Lord and His pastimes and why He's coming here, simply to attract our minds away from Maya. That's all. That's all He's doing. Simply to get our minds out of this and just see His wonderful pastimes, how He's in, and that is the gateway. Prabhupada said, we go back to Godhead just by remembering Krishna. Thinking about Krishna. Jai Sri Prahlada Sri Bhagavan Ki Jai Nrisimha Chatterjee Ki Jai Jai Gopal Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Any comment? Ki Jai Hari Hari Bol.
Prahlad Maharaj was living in Satyuga, no?
Yeah.
So why he says 100 years? Why he says 100 years? How can it be?
I think they say everyone lives 100 years. Brahma lives 100 years. Brahma lives 100 years. The ant lives 100 years. The human lives 100 years. But in that's a, but in relativity, one is only a few days, and one is a very long period of time. But for them, for one lifetime means 100 years. That's what it means. One lifetime. 100 years means one life.